and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
I've been very fortunate in my life to win many big races and awards, but none greater than this honor. The last few weeks I've spent much time reflecting on various paths my life has taken. It amazes me that every experience, relationship, meeting, conversation with friends, families, and clients has molded and shaped my career. Who would have thought 50 years ago, as I slept right over there, in the parking lot, the Fazek Tipton parking lot with my dad, and had breakfast every morning at the Saratoga Snack Shack, that I would be standing here today.
Just over a week ago, across the street, down the street at the Fazek Tipton Pavilion, but certainly the plaque across the street, National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame, Mark Cassie inducted after waiting a year with the postponement last year of the 2020 inductions, but Mark, part of the really fabulous ceremony, just as I say, a little over a week ago. You can catch it on YouTube, pulled up a little bit there. Mark will join me in just a moment. A little bit later on in the show, Bob Ehalt from Bloodhorse will jump on. We'll talk a little bit about some of the stakes action from last week with the Whitney and get a look at some of the stakes action today. I was over at the Jockey's Room on Thursday, and we talked with Tyler Gaffleone, who I think is having a really nice little Saratoga meet, but he's on board Got Stormy for Mark later this afternoon. Mark's son also has a runner in the Saratoga Special Glacial that Tyler will be on. We talked about that with Tyler Gaffleone as well. That is coming up, as I say, shortly. But top of the show, just 8 days out from the Hall of Fame ceremony, our friend Mark Cassie. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you in. And let's go back and talk a little bit about the ceremony last week. And I pulled it up, and again, I'll recommend to people, go to YouTube if you haven't seen it. Not only was Mark great, but really the whole ceremony kind of knocked it out of the park. And I was in the paddock with you yesterday. You were getting congratulations for your speech, and I think that is the consensus. You did a great job. And as I watched it, I looked at your little intro video as well, and there was, and I think the guys will pull it up here because I said go grab it, some black and white footage of you as a kid. Where did that come from?
Yeah, that was, I was 12. And NBC did it, I think, and it was about young people in business, and that's me driving there at 12, and I said in that show, I said, they said, what do you want to do when you get older? And I said, I want to win the Kentucky Derby. So yeah, horse racing's been my life forever.
Yeah, very good. And you kind of referred to that a little bit as well. And also, it was obviously very emotional, as most of those speeches tend to be. And you talked a little bit about anticipating that. But I'm just curious, Hall of Fame, you get there and you're reflecting on family and friends and mentors and business partners and whatnot. It's hard not to. But do you think as you're preparing, no, I'm going to be okay? Or do you just know I'm gone?
So that's a good question, because it was an emotional week leading up to it, and I kept reading the speech and changing things. And one time it was interesting. So my wife and I like Master Chef, and we're watching Master Chef, and somebody got voted off or taken off, and she looked over and I was crying. She goes, "Were you that upset about that?" And I said, "No, it was because I'm reading this speech." So I read it time after time after time, and I couldn't get through it. So I knew that it was going to be difficult. And I kind of mentioned to my wife, I said, I don't know that I'm going to get through my mom. And I started and I looked at her and she shot up because she knew that I could have got through it, but nobody would have understood a word I said. So it's very emotional. You know, this, when all you've ever wanted to do your entire life is be around horses, and you grew up around Saratoga. I've been coming here since I was a little boy, and of course I lost my dad 5 years ago, and so there's lots of, you know, thoughts about that. Luckily my mom, she's still around, watches all the races, and she's my biggest fan.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, reflect on that a little bit, just because you said that, and now you've already said it here, but you said it in the speech and kind of made it clear that really from a young age you knew this was the path you wanted to take.
Yeah, I said, you know, for a short period of time I thought I wanted to be a jockey, but I liked eating and I didn't have enough heart and courage. Luckily, as I said in my speech, and there's no weight restrictions for trainers, or we'd be, a lot of us would be ineligible. So I always knew I always wanted to be, and my mom and dad got divorced when I was 13, and the courts normally make you go with your mom, and my mom was moving back to Indiana, and I was just distraught over it, because I was going to be taken away from the farm, my dad, and the horses, and racing. And finally, one day, I just went and said, Mom, do you love me? And she said, more than anything in the world. And I said, well, if you love me, you let me stay with Dad. And she, that day, she said, okay. And, that was, I just got through it, you know. I don't know if you could show a greater love than that.
No, absolutely. It was a great story.
Because my mom, I have the best mother. She loves, you know, loves us dearly. She would do anything if somebody said, your son just shot somebody, and she'd say, well, he deserved it. You know, she's that kind of mom, and for her to do it is, and you don't realize it at the time. But as you get older and you become a parent, you realize what a sacrifice.
Told that story over there. I think a lot of people were touched by that. Certainly I was. Reflect a little bit. Again, I have Tyler Gaffleone a little bit later, and I pulled up the replay of the Preakness with War of Will. Same year, you won your first American Classic with War of Will and the Preakness, and Sir Winston won the Belmont Stakes a few weeks later. So you put a couple of classics together. How important were those races, you know, stepping in and winning some Purple Crown races?
Well, I think that's what, you know, put me into the Hall of Fame. I kind of had mixed emotions prior to that. You know, I was up for election for it. I wasn't sure I deserved to be in there.
Okay.
We had a lot of success with Tappan. We had won 5 Breeders' Cups and champions and everything. But in my heart, I still wasn't sure I deserved to be in there. And then once we won the Preakness, and then we won the Belmont, and we won it with 2 different horses, which is I didn't realize at the time, but quite a feat. I thought, well, maybe now. And I guess the voters felt the same way.
Absolutely, and deservedly so. Again, multiple time a Sovereign Award winning trainer, and the Classics, and as you say, Breeders' Cup victories as well. And I'd like you to relate a little bit, because you talked about your son, Norm, who now is a trainer on his own here, won a graded stakes up here at Saratoga a few weeks ago as well. And you kind of gave him credit for spreading your wings a little bit and coming south of the border. You've been so successful up at Woodbine, but now you've come down here in Kentucky, Florida, up here in New York at Saratoga as well.
So a lot of people then don't realize, but like in the mid-'80s, and so I actually held the record at Churchill Downs for a while. Dale Romans ended up beating me. I won more races. So I was leading trainer in Kentucky in the mid-'80s, and I kind of got burnt out on it all. And I went up summer to Toronto, and the thing about Toronto that I liked is they start racing the beginning of April in the middle of December, and I could go home to Ocala, which Ocala's home, it always has been, and rest and give the horses some time. And, you know, things went well. I you know, Woodbine and Canada have been very good to me, and I was quite content with that. Interesting enough, Norman really showed no interest in being a horse trainer. He tells the story that, you know, as a little boy, taking the races all the time, and he got tired of it. And he was, the deal was, he was going to do college, took business, and he was going to run the business part of the operation. And after a couple months, and I don't know that I've ever told this story, but after a couple months, he just was miserable. And I said to him one day, I said, what's wrong, Norman? Do you not like this? He goes, no, I hate it. I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to be a horse trainer. I said, well, why did you say so? And I think within a week, I sent him different places. I made him, he went around everywhere and he learned a lot of things. And then he came back and he said, Dad, he's a Kentucky boy. He said, Dad, we got to come back. And at the same time, we started training for the Oxleys. And the Oxleys gave us the ability to go out and buy the Derby horses and those kind. And so, yeah, he did. And he had a large part to do with Teppan. He had Teppan almost her entire career. A lot of our horses will move from one stable to the other, but Teppan was big. And some of our fondest moments were when we all went to Royal Ascot. And
we could replay, because I asked for the stretch run of Teppan winning the Queen Anne. So
was funny was, so over there you have to sell your own horses. You don't have a ballot. And so they say, well, you can saddle them in the paddock or you can saddle them back at the barn. So Norman and I figure, well, we've never saddled one without a ballot, so we better do it back at the barn. So it's decided that Norman is going to be the valet, and he's on the one side, I'm on the other, and it's this little stall, and I pull the girth. Well, he didn't hold on to the saddle. You have to hold on to the saddle when you're the valet. And the saddle went flying, and lucky, you know, Teppan kind of like looked one way and then looked the other way and kind of thought, you dumbasses. So I'll always remember Norman's look. Like, I was like, you have to hold on to the saddle. So those are the kind of, you know, those are things, you know, it's always fun to win and it's exciting. But when you can do it with your son, and, you know, I have to tell you, when he won the opening day, the Schuylerville, of course, as everybody's seen, I cry easily. I was crying when he won that race for a lot of reasons. Saratoga was so important to my dad. And obviously, I named Norman after my father. And I just thought, you know, what a day. Mary Lou, Norman went in, and my dad. My dad would have been, you know, so proud.
Yeah, he tied in with Mary Lou as well. Yeah. It was special, no doubt about it. You've talked a couple of times about how important Saratoga was to you. Reflect on your history at Saratoga.
I can tell you so many stories, but I guess maybe my first year might have been, was maybe 8 or 9. And what my dad would do is, we had a big RV in Fazek Tipton. He would sell horses at Fazek Tipton, and they let us park it over in the parking lot, and we'd stay. So our day, we had the greatest days. We'd get up, take care of the horses in the morning, come to the races, we'd walk to downtown, eat pizza or somewhere, and then wait, because the racing form would come out around 9 o'clock. And I mean, and then you had the racing form, you had to pull it apart, you know, and then I would go and I'd read everything, and then the next day we'd start again, and it was, you know, it was heaven. I can remember, you know, sitting way down in the grandstand when Onion beat Secretariat. I bet on Onion. And about when I was about 15, they had a trailer RV park out where Interlochen is now. And so my dad, I had a little motorcycle, and at 15 you can get your permit.
Yeah.
I went one morning, I was driving and I was hot walking horses, and it was so cold I started shivering, went into the ditch, nearly killed myself. So I mean, it's just been my life for you know, ever. Yeah. I've had more different barns. I was behind us. I was, you know, so it's just amazing.
It is a special place, no doubt about it. And I say it all the time. What makes it special is what's outside the fences as what's inside, because you're downtown eating dinner. Next table, they're talking about tomorrow's double.
Well, you know, and that's what's so great about Saratoga is everywhere, you know, I'm not saying that I'm some star, but now, especially since the Hall of Fame, it amazes me how many people have actually, they must have watched the videos and everything. So everywhere I walk, you know, people that I don't know come up, and, you know, it helps when you have a beautiful wife. I think they recognize her first, and then like, oh, that's the beautiful woman with the ugly husband. I had some guy come up to me, he said, you know what the truest statement you made in that entire speech was? And I said, no, what's that? He said, you married up. I said, well, I said that. I said a million times I've heard it. He goes, a million's not enough.
It was good, though. You got a little emotional. You said it before. She was ready. She came right off the bench.
She is.
Called in off the bench. She's ready to go.
And she's never spoke in front of anybody ever.
Oh, she did a great job.
Oh, she's. Yeah. I think she should get a job. She's a great reader.
No, that was.
She is. She probably should have done it all. But I wanted. There were so many important, and I had individuals there, the Oxleys, the Farmers, whoever. I wanted to thank them, and so I said, I'll let her do my mom, and
it worked out. You did a great job. As a team, you both did a great job as well. Yeah. Just before I move off Teppan, I don't know whether it's a fair question, but would she rank as your favorite?
Well, I have lots of favorites, but I would say, and I said this, our greatest victory was the Queen Anne, because she went over and kind of beat them at their own game. We got a quick funny story. So I did a bunch of interviews. It was huge. I mean, Hong Kong, Dubai, I mean, they all interviewed me. So right after the race, I said, when do I get to meet the Queen? And they said, you missed her. I said, I want to meet the Queen. And so I said something. They asked me if I would come back. Ever come back? I said, only if I get to meet the Queen. So they wrote that in the Racing Post, and I guess she must have read it.
And the Queen being a huge racing fan.
Yeah, and who would have thought, but she read it, and the next year we ran a horse over there, and we were maybe about an hour from, you know, post time, and a guy comes and says, the Queen would like to meet you. So my wife, my son, and I went, and we met the Queen, and it was something that I'll never forget. My son, we left, not Norman, but my son Colby, he said, Dad, were you scared? And I said, no, I was okay. He goes, I was shaking. I thought I was going to fall down. But she's a lovely, lovely lady. And it was, like I said, it was a memory that I'll never forget.
That's incredible. And again, she is a huge racer.
Yes.
She owns horses. It's always fun to see under the owner in the racing form, Her Majesty the Queen.
A long, long time ago, I got a horse. And we bought it over in England. My dad did it, and it said, bred by the Queen. So I don't know if you know him, but there was a great guy, Buddy Bishop. He was a horse ID. He ended up at one time being the head of the jockey club for taking care of the papers. And he came in, he said, the Queen's been calling for you. And he would come in every time I ran that horse, and he would call me Sir Mark.
It's suitable, given running one for the Queen. Well, let's talk about some horses, because, of course, today Got Stormy returns in the four-star day. I'm going to pull up her remarkable win in this race back in 2019. She's going to be the number six horse here. She is going to win over Raging Bull, who will be the number four horse. So they're both back a couple years later. She ran in this race last year as well and came out of a 90. I'm a buyer guy. Came out of a 94 buyer last year to improve nicely to run second with a 103 buyer behind the Loose on the Lead Halliday. But again, this is a couple of years ago, coming back off the 1 week's rest. Reflect a little bit on her last two starts in the four-star, Dave, and what you expect this afternoon.
Well, you know, you're 100% correct in that. So the year she won the four-star, Dave, the turf was extremely fast. I mean, she ran a mile and 32 flat. For her to get a mile, she needs it really hard and fast. And then last year, we just kept getting bad weather, and she struggled coming into the four-star day, and everybody was said, well, she's not the same horse. And I was like, no, I think she is. And don't you know, it poured rain that morning. I'm talking about, what was it, last year?
Yeah.
Right. And it poured rain, and like you said, that colt horse got out, Todd's horse, got on the lead, and she ran very well.
Oh, yeah.
She went from, and if you look, her form is similar. She struggled coming into this, but what she loves it extremely hard, and she's very good around the inner turf turns. She's so nimble
yeah.
that she gets around them, and that hurts some of the other horses, and that gives her an advantage. If it had rained a lot, I wasn't going to run her today, but we didn't get a lot of rain. We're all systems are go.
Nice, nice, nice. Yeah, it was, and depending on where you are in the area, we should emphasize that, because I said during the handicapping show, down by my place, there were trees down, and I guess further down there were some big storms as well. But up here, before the 8th yesterday, there was a pretty good shower, but then the sun came back out, and there were some sprinkles overnight, but nothing.
I left here yesterday, and the wind was blowing. So I'm driving, and all at once, I mean, it was blowing. And guy pulls up next to me. He said, did that limb hit your car? He said, I've got it on my video, my dash cam. I said, I don't think so. He goes, oh, you'd known if you it hit you. So I guess this huge limb missed the back of my truck. It fell out, and, yeah, it was wild for a few minutes.
At various points in the area, it was a little bit crazy, no question about it. I wanted to go back to a couple from last week as well and just get updates and where we might look for runners. You sent one out to Del Mar last week. The Best Pal, we're going to take a look at Papa Cap getting it done. Second career start, broke the maiden at Gulfstream back in May. Went out to Del Mar to try the Best Pal. Papa Cap is going to be the number three horse here, getting it done. What was the game plan to ship out to Del Mar and try the Best Pal?
This is a horse that I've loved from the beginning. He kind of, at our training center, showed that he was a little special. And we were sending some horses to Del Mar, and the reason we did that was, a lot of people probably don't know this, but for the first time in a long time, Churchill Downs shut down their stable area. So I said, well, maybe this is a good time. The Del Mar officials had asked me to bring some horses out. Gary Barber loves to run out there. And I was talking to the Russells, and I said, look, I said, this horse is going to be a good closing horse. I think I kind of had handicapped who had broke their maiden in New York and Kentucky, and I figured they were going to Saratoga. And I handicapped who had broke their maiden in California, and I said, I think we should go to California, and it worked out.
Picked up the grade two. A son of Gunrunner, any opinions on the sire, who was really getting off to a very good start?
I've been telling everybody for 3 or 4 months, I said, I think this Gunrunner is something, and I know Steve had had another really good winner yesterday. What's amazing,
he showed it on the handicap.
Yeah, what's amazing to me is, I didn't expect him to be this early, because Gunrunner really didn't get good until he got a little older. I know Steve's very impressed with him, too. So my only issue is I don't have enough of him. Steve has plenty.
Anything planned for Papa Cap?
He's going to come back in the Del Mar Futurity. Okay. And then, you know, we laid out a plan for him to try to get to the Breeders' Cup, and it all is California. That's another reason he's going to stay out there.
The test last week up here, going to take a look at that. Bella Sophia just ran lights out, but I thought Super Sensational, who will be the number two horse for Charlotte Weber and Live Oak. I thought this was a pretty good second coming off the win in the victory ride just prior to that. Talk a little bit about Super Sensational in the test last week.
You know, I mean, Rudy's filly just freaked to me.
Yeah.
But I think you got to be pretty impressed, because there's some good fillies behind, you know, our filly. Our filly beat some good ones, so I thought it was a good race. I'm flirting with the idea, maybe, just see, I may come. They run her here in the Prioress.
Okay.
The Prioress is now here. Used to be at Belmont, I believe.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised,
but
it shows up here, so it's 3/4 of a mile. It's one of the last days. I think I may aim her for that. That's my plan right now.
Yeah,
but she's a nice filly.
Yeah. And just before we let you go, for anybody who's playing a little Woodbine tomorrow in the King Edward, you have Olympic Runner and March to the Arch. I pulled up the replay from March to the Arch in the Niagara back on July 25th, so we'll watch that one. March to the Arch will be the number 5 horse, nice runner for you. As I say, you have a couple in there, including Olympic runner. Thoughts on the King Edward tomorrow up at Woodbine?
You know, Marsh Arch is a nice horse. He loves Woodbine's turf course. We're cutting him back a little. There is not a whole lot of speed in the race. And so both of my horses, there are closers. Olympic runner, he ran really well. He just missed winning his last start, too. I would think if they'll set a little pace for him, they'll both be pretty competitive.
Have you been able to get up to Woodbine this year?
I have not.
So it's just
but
not...
I can now, I think, yeah. Maybe, because I got vaccinated and things. But it's been very difficult.
No, I felt for the whole crew up there with the late start.
Oh, and... I felt so bad for it. You know, for us, we were able to run different places. The poor Canadian, you know, horsemen, it was brutal.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for
them. Yeah, we have a pretty good relationship with them and go up for the Queen's Plate every year and whatnot. Couldn't this past
year.
Where
are you going to go this year?
This year.
It's still kind of different.
Yeah. Things are
you
so dicey getting back and forth. So,
I got you.
But again, we have a good relationship.
Yeah,
so
I think
just
I've
root
seen,
for those people.
We've seen each other a few times
up there.
I don't have a Queen's Plate horse this year. So, you know.
Well, Queen's Plate, we usually go up for the Woodbine Mile. That's a nice weekend.
Yeah, I think,
well,
you know, so, we should be have a shot in the Woodbine Mile. I have a few pretty good turf horses.
Right.
So
we'll check in then as well. Mark, we really appreciate the visit. I will congratulate you once again on the Hall of Fame. It was a year delayed, but I'm sure well worth the wait. Certainly was for us because, as I say, you knocked it out of the park with your speech. And, again, you can find that on YouTube. Just type in National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame, and you'll get this year's ceremony. It's worth the watch. Before you leave, we appreciate your time. I know it's a busy time, so courtesy of Capital OTV and Pinnell's, there's a gift card for dinner at Pinnell's.
Beautiful.
We appreciate your stopping by.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Mark Cassie again got Stormy in the 4-star Dave this afternoon, so we'll be rooting for that one. We'll take a break. When we come back, more racing across America. Stay tuned.
Well, that was good. We covered a lot.
Additional consideration for Saturdays at the Spa provided by Pinnell's Restaurant, a 99-year tradition of serving the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Tyler Gaffney, he's having a good meet up here at Saratoga and certainly a good career.
very early in the career, the Eclipse Apprentice winner of 2015, and it's just gone from there, and we'll talk about some of that. But before we do, I wanted to go back to Wednesday. First, welcome.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Wanted to go back to Wednesday and pull up the replay of Strong Odor. This was a nice ride. It looked like you were looking at the top of the stretch to maybe pull out, and then things opened up on the inside, and you came down on the inside. Well, as we play this, the guys will get the bing-bang finish. Number three will be Strong Odor. Right in it with number four, Gotta Go Mo, and number one, Richie's Great Girl. I'm just curious, as it is a bing-bang finish, did you know you won?
I had a good feeling that I won that race just because she was a little timid inside. That's why I was wanting to get out. I had rode her at Keeneland in the past, and she, same thing on the inside, she was a little timid. So I was wanting to get her outside, but it just never came available. So when I put her in there, she was a little hesitant, but right as... maybe a few strides before the wire, she got heads up with those fillies, and then she surged, just got her confidence up, and was able to just push
it
on through.
It did look like she was hesitant on the inside and was not making forward progress until got used to it a little bit as she got closer to the wire.
Yeah, she just had to get comfortable and just get that self-confidence about herself. But yeah, when she did, shot right through.
Nice ride, and then nice run up the rail. And another turf sprint I wanted to bring up. Go back to the Troy back on August 6th. We'll watch number one, Fastboat, a little bit different. Came on the outside, but still a similar situation in that Fastboat kind of grounded out down the stretch. You got to the outside, but really had to work to catch Karatari, the front runner there, but you got up by about a half a length there.
Absolutely. You know, he's a very classy horse. His best attribute is his closing kick, but he really showed a good turn of foot that day. I was able to get a good position early, stalked Bound for Nowhere, which I thought was the horse to beat. And coming off the turn, we just peeled out outside of him, and he unleashed a big run.
And the leader here is a Karatari. Fastboat is coming on the outside. It is Karatari trying to hold off Fastboat, then Imprimis and Gear Jockey. They're coming for the finish, and Fastboat is the winner.
Turf sprints, I'm a guy who's been in the game for a long time. When turf sprints came, to me, they were a complete puzzle. I'm wondering from the jockey side, is it fun to ride? Do you like to ride turf sprints?
They're fun. When you got a nice horse that really likes the 5.5 or 5 for a long distance, it can be a lot of fun. But it's also challenging just because it's a strange distance, because you have to use your horse early to get position, but then that takes away from the closing kick. So it's just trying to find a good balance.
Yeah, and it, again, one of the parts of the puzzle for me was always nothing can go wrong.
It's
over
true.
So quick.
Oh, yeah. And one mistake, you're basically out.
Let's talk a little bit about what you have coming up on the weekend, because you have a couple on Saturday. You have one coming up in the Saratoga Special, and you also have, of course, Got Stormy in the four-star day. But first, let's pull up Glacial in the Bashford Manor. We're going to look at this one from Churchill Downs. Glacial is going to be the number four horse and wind up third in here. Double Trouble wins, Vodka and Water runs second. This will be your first time on Glacial. Norm Cassie said the blinkers come off. I'm wondering, have you been on in the morning?
Yes, sir. So I've been working him since he got up here. I believe I've been on him his past four workouts. He's trained really well. We've set him off horses, let him set the pace. He's done everything we've asked of him. He's a big, strong, good-looking colt, and he brings a lot of energy to the race, so I'm looking forward to our chances.
They're off the turn. They're into the stretch. Lands down toward the rail. Glacial right there. Knock her down with a shot. Vodka and Water down the center of the track. And from last, Double Thunder's weaving through the pack. Switched outside. Here comes Double Thunder. Double Thunder takes over the lead. Glacial fights on. So too does Knock her down. Vodka and Water. They're coming down to the finish. And from last to first, it's Double Thunder.
Norm has also said he's looking forward to stretching this horse out a little bit. You get that sense when you work the horse?
Absolutely. You know, if you look back on his previous races, when he had the blinkers, he was just kind of doing too much too early, just wanted to get too aggressive. But ever since we took him off, he's really backed off. He's kind of found his own stride now, and he's developing into a pretty nice little horse.
So no blinkers in the morning on the workouts?
Yes, correct.
Very good. So expectations, it's a nice, these fields are always nice and fun because they're all lightly raced, and there's still maybe some upside potential, but you have any expectations for Saturday with Glacial?
Hopefully we drew really well in the race. Got a great post position. Hopefully we can get out of the gate cleanly and set a nice stalking trip and see if we're good enough.
And as they say, Norm is looking also to stretch out a little bit later in the year, so we'll see how that works out. Norm's dad, Mark Cassie, has Got Stormy, and you've been at Got Stormy for a number of starts, and we're going to pull up the Honey Fox from earlier this year. This was her seasonal debut. Got Stormy's going to be the number two horse. 2 years ago, she came in this race off a weak layoff and beat the boys. Last year, you were on board. Just could not catch the loose Halliday on the front end. But it was a nice second for God Stormy. As I say, she started her season very nicely this year. Subsequently, a couple of fifths in the Distaff down at Churchill and the Jiper against the boys last time. But have you been working her in the morning? Because she's been firing bullets in the morning.
Yeah, I worked her two of her last three workouts. She loves it up here. Yeah. This is one of her favorite places to train, and she really just seems to blossom this time of year. But she's coming in this race in great form. We're all very excited, and hopefully we can get her a second four-star Dave.
Yeah, what's it like to ride? I mean, this is the special kind of horse. 11 wins and 29 starts, over $2 million. And Marcus said it. Got the horse back after it looked like maybe the horse was going to go to the breeding shed, and so it's been a fun extra year for this one. But what's it like to be on a horse like this?
She's a horse of a lifetime. These are the horses you grow up dreaming to be able to get to ride, and I've just been so fortunate to be able to team up with her for some of her victories. But she means the world to me, and I was thrilled last year after the Breeders' Cup. I said my goodbyes, and I was thrilled when Mark said she was coming back this year, so hopefully we can keep her going moving forward.
Jakarta still has the lead. Got Stormy. Asked to quicken by Gaffleone. Zoffel is next. Winding it up down the stand side is Feel Glorious. Final 16th of a mile. Got Stormy surging to the lead now. Zoffel lifts at her late. Zoffel surging at Got Stormy. These two photo finish.
Looking forward to it because, as I say, it's been two nice runs in the four-star day the last couple of years. You talked about looking forward to these horses and watching them as you grew up. I'm curious, and I always like to, you know, when we're up here at Saratoga, we're bringing in some new fans watching the programs and whatnot, so I like to introduce them to folks, and I'd just like to know, how'd you get into the game?
So for me, I grew up in around horses. My father and grandfather were both jockeys. Most of my family is involved in horse racing in some way. Cousin is Terry Houghton, so I grew up idolizing jockeys. It was either that or become a bull rider, and this just made more sense, so I stuck with this, and I have no regrets. I love everything about it, the people, get to travel, see all kinds of different places, and it's an amazing experience.
Good choice, obviously, this versus bull riding, because again, you won the Eclipse for Apprentice in 2015, you've been the leader of, my notes are right here, the last four Churchill Downs meets, and you come up here to Saratoga for the last few seasons. What's the decision-making process in the summer to take on really one of the toughest jockey colonies in the country?
More so it was my agent's decision. He wanted to take his time with me. He just didn't want to throw me into the deep end, and we started making trips out of town frequently, basically every weekend, and I got my confidence up with that, riding different tracks, different horses for different trainers, so he just kind of brought me up slowly, and 3 years ago he said it's time to give it a shot. So we came, and we haven't looked back since.
Give me your impressions of Saratoga. I saw you as we came back here. You were coming back from winning the second race on Thursday. We're taping this, and you had a couple of kids and signed some autographs out there, and that's always fun to see. Give me your impressions as a jockey of Saratoga and the interaction with the fans and whatnot.
There's really no place like it here. Last year was so unfortunate that we didn't have the fan base, but it's been amazing this year. The crowds have been so energetic, and they've been out every week and basically every day, but it just brings so much energy, and it just makes the place so much more fun.
Is it fun to interact with the little kids?
That's the best part, because I remember when I was a kid, I used to run around, can I get your goggles, can I have a whip, something. But, you know, that's what makes it so special here.
Number two in wins in 2020, and again, you're sitting there, when I looked up Equibase stats, number five currently up here at Saratoga, and I wanted to pull up one more race and go back a little bit, because again, it's just been a fun career. We picked up on you. Typically go down to the Florida Derby. Obviously, the last couple of years we haven't made it, but we go on cover there. Picked up on you, obviously, with the great start you had down at Gulfstream, and got the Eclipse Award off of a meet leading title down there, and then hung around for the championship meet, which is always very tough, and then subsequently have moved on to Churchill, and as I say, a blossoming career. But I would like a reaction to the 2019 Preakness, and while we talk, the guys will pull up the stretch run, War of Will. What's it like as early in the career as you were able to do it to pull up one of the Triple Crown classics?
It's hard to put it into words, really. I still get chills watching thinking about it and watching it, but I actually watched the replay the other day, and it never gets old. That's just one of those feelings. You just dream of being in that spot and in that position, and I'm just so thankful that I was able to do that.
And now moving three wide on the far outside. Improbable is in gear as well. And then it's War of Will on the inside, who's now being ridden to keep up. Win, Win, Win is going very wide. Owendale two, and they're into the stretch. And it's Warrior's Charge off the turn in front. Another twist of fate. Here is War of Will, and he got through an opening on the inside of the gate pole. Owendale is storming down the center of the track, but it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by two lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast on the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness. And then it was Everfast in a photo with Owendale, followed by Warrior's Charge, and a final time of 1 minute 54.15 seconds. Today was the day for War of Will.
Right in the middle of all of it at the Kentucky Derby, a close second when Maximum Security veered, but nothing in the path of War of Will for Mark Cassie, the trainer, Tyler Gaffleone, the jockey, and Gary Barber, the owner. They all pick up their first Triple Crown win.
Yeah, as I say, early in the career, a nice little way to kick things off, and you're on your way. I've been saying it since I saw you down at Gulfstream, and then to see you move to Kentucky and do so well.
Thank you.
Doing well up here also. But we appreciate your taking your time to sit with us, because I know it's a busy time. And in appreciation, via Capital OTB, we'll give you a gift card to downtown Jacob and Anthony's. Enjoy dinner on us. And
Thank you.
We appreciate you taking the time.
My girlfriend and I love this place. We're looking forward to it.
Perfect. Tyler Gaffleone.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
I'm Seth Merrill, and as Serious Horse Players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a Serious Horse Player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on Saturday morning. A nice Saturday if you plan to head up to the track. I think you're going to have another nice day. The humidity is still around. I think it has come down a couple of notches from the last 3 days or so. And there is a nice little breeze as well. But it's going to be a great day of racing. A couple of nice stakes races. And we'll touch on some of those momentarily, because we are joined now by my friend Bob Ehalt from Blood Horse, America's Best Racing and beyond. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Pleasure to be with you as always.
Happy to have you on board. And you and I were talking in light of Mark Cassie being here earlier for the Blood Horse. You covered the Hall of Fame ceremony. I was in doing TV, so I unfortunately didn't get over to see it live, but pulled it up via YouTube, and it lived up to the commentary I heard from everybody. Really seemed like the speeches kind of knocked it out of the park, and obviously some high-profile entrants as well with Todd Pletcher and Mark Cassie. What were your impressions?
I had a very great ceremony, really a great lineup of all-stars, true Hall of Famers, a lot of star power. It was very emotional. Mark is really a great guy. I mean, he puts his emotions on his sleeves. You know, he doesn't back down from, shy away from telling you how much affection he had for his father and the emotions he has about it, and Todd too, with a little laughter from Mike Rapoli, and remembrances of American Pharoah when he was at his greatest here at Saratoga. I thought just a fabulous ceremony. It was well worth the wait of the year that we had to sit out.
Yeah, and that's notable too, because it was postponed for a year, so there were two classes put together, but given the situation this year, a full pavilion over there, so that was fun. But I'll get your reaction as well. You were amongst the group that was up in the dining room last year, the auxiliary press box, which I kind of liked, I have to admit, the open-air impressed by. The only thing I didn't like was the pigeons. One of them hit my computer opening week. So that was kind of nice. But overall, boy, it was very – people kept asking me, what was it like? And the people say, this year, what was it like last year? And I said, you know, it was kind of unique for about 3 days. And then it was just a little bit depressing, particularly given some of the great performances last year.
Yeah.
Tis the Law, Swiss Skydiver, and the fans couldn't be here. But I'll get your impressions as well. Just, you know, opening week and seeing people and the smiles on people. You know, it's universally, which you don't normally get at a racetrack, but universally good feelings the first few days. What were your thoughts? And you've been down at Belmont as well, as they have come out of the pandemic just a few weeks before we got up here to Saratoga. They kind of opened things up also. Your impressions of fans back on track?
Yeah, it's really great. Not only just to have them back on track, but the excitement that they're bringing. You can see, especially here at Saratoga, they really, you could see how much people missed it, how much they love being back here. Last year was very difficult. I know as a rider for Blood Horse, I was able to come out to the races because of getting exemptions as essential personnel. And people would say, gee, I wish I could go out there too. And I would tell people, I says, you're not missing anything. It was really very rough. I mean, there's no concessions. There's nowhere to sit. You have to stand the whole time. It's hot. It was very Spartan-like. But this year, to have everything back, it really was great. Opening weekend, kind of the shame of the Saratoga start is it happens the same week as the Haskell weekend. So I had to go to Jersey, but I made a special trip just to come up here for the opening day, just to see it, to feel the fans, that electricity when the fans shouted, they're off at Saratoga. I think it's just great. And, you know, you see the crowds even on Wednesdays and Thursdays. There's big crowds. I mean, you always get the crowds on the weekend, but you could see people are really happy to be back here. And certainly to reinforce that bond that Saratoga has with the horse racing sport.
Yeah, it's a special place. It is kind of the pinnacle of American racing. Certainly, and so to get people back here and be able to see some of the big performances that they miss watching in person last year, it's been fun to get them back. You mentioned going down to the Haskell. I was going to bring that up as well. What was the crowd like down there, and your impressions of essential quality?
Well, the Haskell?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the Haskell with the disqualification was the thing. I mean, there was a good crowd there. But I will say, remember last year, Monmouth was open. They had about 5,000 people last year. So it wasn't like the complete, shall we say, ghost town that you have for the Travers last year. But there was a good crowd there. There was a race, and it could be remembered as a great race the way it finished, except for the incident in the stretch, which definitely, in my mind, the whip, as talking to Flavian Pratt after the race, as he said, the whip came in, that if he had been able to use his whip, if he had been a normal race where he knew he could use his whip, probably the incident would not have happened. But, you know, these things happen in a split second, and these jockeys have to make instantaneous decisions that are very rough, because if he hits his horse to keep him straight, he's probably going to get disqualified. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation with kind of, I think, a very unfortunate and just nonsensical rule that I hope they'll change. But certainly it showed there's some great depth in the three-year-old
division. Yeah, it's essential quality, Mandaloon.
But it showed the depth because of Hot Rod Charlie. I mean, Mandaloon's out now, but Hot Rod Charlie is a heck of a good horse. It's going to be interesting to see how he continues to go forward. But just the depth and the way that this three-year-old class has maintained its quality. I mean, these are the horses we got to know at last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which in most years, by August, it's like a great trivia question. Who was second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile? Well, now you kind of, Hot Rod Charlie was that horse, and he's a contender for the three-year-old title. So, and certainly essential quality, who won the juvenile and was the champion two-year-old. Well, right now, he's the horse you would say would be the champion three-year-old. So a very remarkable group, and it's going to be a fun Travers.
Yeah, no question about it. Pennsylvania Derby shortly after that, as we are now in that second, really winding up the three-year-old season. And it may not be until we get to those horses facing some olders that will really decide things. But as you say, at this point in the clubhouse, it likely is essential quality. But let's go back and talk another Brad Cox runner. I'd love to get your impressions. We'll watch the stretch run from last Saturday's feature, and obviously one of the big races year in and year out up here at Saratoga. The Grade One Whitney, $1 million up for grade. Racetracks can claim a couple of million-dollar races on one card. It was the Whitney in the Saratoga Derby last week. But, boy, Nick Sgho, who in the short field just looked to have the pace advantage. That's the way it played out. Coming out of that confidence builder at Prairie Meadows, gets it done again. What were your thoughts on the Whitney and Nick Sgho?
I really think the big part of this race was on the first turn. He put an electrifying move to get clear.
Yeah, he said, I want the lead, not get
it. Yeah, Joel was very decisive. He made a very quick move. No one else wanted to go with him. And as a result, he's sitting on the backstretch with comfortable fractions for him, ahead by five lengths. And really, the race was over basically at that point. If he had anything, he's just going to gallop home, which he did. So I think it was that move on the first turn that really, and as I say, just the you don't normally see horses other than rabbits make that kind of move, but he took control. And then I think Joel was wise to kind of float him a little wide while he was clear, because this meant that if you were going to rally, you were probably going to rally inside of him. A lot of horses don't like to come inside. They like to come on the outside. So if you were going to go outside him, you were going to give up some ground. So I thought it was a really, really good ride by Joel Rosario, what he did on the first turn and then turning for home. And then you just saw in that clip, in the final eighth of a mile, he extended his margin. So certainly Brad Cox was dead on with saying this horse doesn't want one turn. He said that to me right after the Met mile. I talked to him a couple of minutes after the race, and that's exactly what he said. And since then, he's been proven correct by the way he ran in the Cornhusker against a weaker field, and then just a dynamic performance against about as good a collection of older horses as you might find.
Yeah, it was a small but clearly select field, quantity versus quality, and quality won out there. But Nick Sgho looking very good. Going to be interested to see what the game plan is going forward for him and how they arrive and where they go at the Breeders' Cup. Let's get some thoughts this afternoon. Let's start with the feature today, the Grade 1 four-star Dave. Talked to Mark Cassie earlier. We'll see if Got Stormy can run as well in the four-star Dave this year as she has the last couple of years. But I'm going to pull up a replay from the Maker's Mark Mile back on April 9th. It will be number 8, Raging Bull, getting it done really in fine fashion in the first start of the year. The follow-up in the Poker may be a little bit disappointing, coming up a little bit short at a chalky price, but now third start of the year, maybe a rebound to closer to what we saw on this particular day. But this is a fun field. Casa Creed for Lee Einsiedler, set piece for Brad Cox. As I say, Got Stormy, Blowout on the outside, one of the three female entrants in the race, this one for Chad Brown. What are your thoughts on the four-star day?
Well, you know, I as you mentioned, I think it's a pretty good and competitive field. I think the big question mark over this field is a little bit what Mother Nature has done.
Yeah.
Even if the turf is firm, it's not going to be one of those summer hard turf courses. That's what Got Stormy definitely likes. So I'm not sure if this is going to be, I don't think it'll be a course she hates, but I don't think it's going to be a course she relishes. Some of the other horses, you know, the same thing, Raging Bull, I think he would like to have it a little bit firmer, but, you know, he has one up here in some other stakes, and I think he'll handle it. He's a real good horse. I thought he had a little bit of traffic issues last time coming up the rail. There was a hole, but it was pretty tight. I don't think he could accelerate like he normally does. This he faces a similar problem here in this race, but I think they'll be a little bit more focused on trying to get him out so that he can make his kind of move outside of horses. But, you know, it's very competitive field. Casa Creed, as you say, that's a horse who he's kind of like that NBA player who's not really a power forward and not really a small forward. I mean, you know, he could win, he could sprint, but sprinting 5 furlongs in the Breeders' Cup where he has a free spot isn't his game. The mile is going to be a very tough race for him. This will be a good indication of what he could do, but certainly I think he's going to be a factor here. And as you say, set piece is very competitive, and Blowout will be interesting to see who wants to run with her and the kind of speed she's going to show. So I think it's a very good betting race.
Yeah, it's a fun race, certainly. And again, rooting for Got Stormy to run well again in her try after a couple of nice tries the past couple of the race that I showed with Mark 2 years ago was kind of remarkable coming back after a week rest and getting it done a couple of years ago. Saratoga Special, the two-year-olds lineup, boy, a nice full field of 12 in the air. Glacial for Norm Cassie. We talked about that one with Tyler Gaffleone a little bit earlier. You and I were talking before we went on the air. I think you like Gunite at least a little bit, as I do. I use that one on top. We're going to look at the maiden breaker for Gunite. Career start number 3. Gunite's going to be the number 1. Nice full field of 12 down at Churchill on June 26th. So Gunite, the number 2, the number 1 horse in here, comes back this afternoon. But you mentioned another horse, the Pletcher Runner for Phoenix Thoroughbreds. Number 7, Double Thunder, this afternoon is one you may be interested in as well. Talk a little bit about the Saratoga Special.
Yeah, I think, you know, Gunite, you certainly, I think you got to respect him because I tell you, Steve Asmussen has come up here with some live horses. They're really running well, and I think Gunite took a big step forward in his last race. If he continues to make that progress, he's going to be very tough. The horse I'm intrigued by is Double Thunder, the horse from Todd Pletcher. I mean, you look at the breeding of this horse. This is a horse who is by Super Saver out of a Tappet mare that basically tells you that should be a two-turn horse. Well, this guy won. He won at 4.5 furlongs. Then he came back and won the stakes at Churchill Downs. He was 10th early in that race. Wasn't that far out of it, I think, if I remember, 6.5 or 7 lengths behind. But still, he came from 10th in a 2-year-old sprint stakes and won by like 4.5 going away. I mean, to me, this horse has some talent. He's certainly doing things that seem to be beyond the scope of his pedigree. So we're going to say, especially getting more distance, I don't think more distance should hurt him. Sometimes in these type of races, a horse could get out front and kind of run everybody into the ground, and maybe that'll happen today. But I'm kind of intrigued with Double Thunder. I know the speed numbers really aren't big, but, you know, two-year-olds in June and May, they're not going to get scintillating numbers. So I think he's probably developed over the last couple of months, and I think he's an interesting contender in this race.
Yeah, I'm a buyer's guy, and you and I were talking beforehand, and the buyers compared to this field are a little bit light, which I think is going to help the odds, but I was agreeing with you. In June, a couple of two-year-old races in June, those numbers are okay.
Right.
And this horse, a third start, and as you say, a little time off, has some upside to get to numbers that are going to be closer to this. 2 for 2, including a stakes race already. That experience counts for something.
I think so. And, you know, a lot of horses, when they win those stakes in June, that's all they really could do. They're very distance challenged. This doesn't look like a horse's distance challenge. So it'd be interesting to see what he does today.
Yeah, it's a fun addition to the Saratoga Special with a dozen entered in there. So looking forward to that. One of two really nice stakes on the card today. You can read more about some of the stakes action and much, much more. Bobby Halt over at the Blood Horse. He said you have an article coming up on the starter.
Yeah, we're coming up at some point next week.
Which I think is kind of a fun behind-the-scenes kind of a thing for folks as well. So, again, check out Bob, Blood Horse, America's Best Racing as well and beyond. Bob, always appreciate the visit. Good luck this afternoon.
Thank you, Seth. Great always being with you.
Bob Ehalt, again, Blood Horse, America's Best Racing, and much, much more. We will take one more break, come back and wrap it up on this Saturday morning. Stay tuned. Bob, very good.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Always appreciate it.
Don't
Thank
forget
you.
The mic.
Oh, jeez, I was about to walk out.
Everybody starts to walk
yeah,
away.
Yeah, I can.
Betway is the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing. Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Saratoga special day again. It's going to be a beautiful day up here. The sun is shining. Lots of great racing. If you're planning to come on up, come on up and enjoy the afternoon. Make a little money. Don't forget, as I said yesterday, if you have a certain number of Saratoga days planned and you think, I want to avoid some of the humidity. And again, a little bit humid today, but our branches, easy bets. The clubhouse race book down in Albany, you can get some air conditioning as well. But as I say, if you come out, I mentioned it yesterday, if you're coming up, pack the cooler, put some ice in, grab some sandwiches, sit out in the backyard at the picnic table, keep hydrated during the day. You'll have a great day. I guarantee you, over the past few days, people have been enjoying the track plenty, particularly cashing some of the tickets that were available over the past few days. So love to see you up here or at our branches, the race book or whatnot. Let me remind you of some of the promos that are coming up via Capital OTB. Again, Saratoga Syndicate for this week is full, but next week's Syndicate will open tomorrow via the website, capitalotb.com. First come, first serve for a $50 price. You get in on a $1,500 Saturday pick ticket up here at Saratoga, so it's a lot of fun. The Saratoga Syndicate, again, next week's opens up tomorrow, Sunday, at the website. Today, there's a $100 pick three bankroll. Go to the website. I think you still have a little time to put your name in the hat to potentially get on the pick three bankroll team today. CapitalOTB.com. $100 play the board contest down at the clubhouse racebook. Tomorrow, there's a show pool bankroll. Still have time to potentially get on that team. Again, go to the website, CapitalOTB.com, for more info. And tomorrow at the clubhouse racebook, it's the pick four and the match bet promotion. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right. I want to thank our friend Bob Ehal from Blood, Heart, Horse, and Beyond, Tyler Gaffleone, for taking some time a couple of days ago out in the backyard at the Jocks Room, and, of course, Mark Cassie. That was a great, boy, almost a half an hour with Mark. A lot of fun. He's always great in here, and it was good to catch up with him, talk some of his winners recently. Papa Cap out at Del Mar in the two-year-old stakes race, one to watch, and certainly rooting for Got Stormy this afternoon in the Saratoga special. So again, thanks to Mark Cassie for taking the time to join us this morning. All of which brings us to the end of another edition of Racing Across America on a Saturday. Tomorrow we'll be back in at 9 a.m. for the Handicappers Award. 10 a.m. tomorrow. It's Loose on the Lead, Steve Bick and myself. So we certainly look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning, but in the meantime, enjoy all the races this afternoon, make some money, load up for what do we have, about 19 days left, I think, so load up for the rest of the meet. Still plenty of time. If it's been a little slow for you so far, turn the page and get started today. So again, you can watch it all here on the network or come up to the track, go to the branches, the easy bets, or the clubhouse racebook, whatever you do. Enjoy this Saturday afternoon of racing right here at Saratoga. As far as the morning programming, we will see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. for the Handicappers Report.
Promotional consideration for Saturdays at the Spa provided by Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, featuring classic American recipes from the past with a modern presentation. Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, 38 High Rock Avenue, Saratoga.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.